Well, good morning, and so glad you're here and thankful for the opportunity for us to gather together and worship the Lord together today, and thank God for the rain. Amen. And we are grateful for that and grateful for how the Lord provides. And so we just want to say welcome to all of you, a special welcome to all of our guests. If you're a first-time guest, we'd love to connect with you. We can do that in one of two ways. There's a card in the pew back in front of you. You can fill that out, and that's a simple way for us to know who's worshiping with us today. At the end of service, we'll have an opportunity to be able to give as we leave service today. You can leave that in the offering plate, and that's a way for us to connect with you. Or in person or online, you can go to our website, sbcr.org, and there's a button that says, I'm new. You click that button and fill out some simple information, and we get an email letting us know who's worshiping with us. And so we are grateful for each one of our guests, grateful that you've chosen to worship with us today. Want to give you, I've got several announcements, so bear with me, but I want to invite you back tonight at 5 o'clock. We're going to meet right here. We are going to take prayer requests and have a time of prayer, followed by we got a few watermelons iced down, and so we're going to go out on the back patio here and just enjoy just a brief time of fellowship and cut some watermelon and enjoy eating watermelon, and you can even spit a seed if you want to, but we won't tell nobody. So come back tonight, 5 o'clock, prayer time followed by some fellowship time, sitting out back eating watermelon if you like, or you can bring your own snack if you want to, if you don't want watermelon. So we'd love to have you. I'm really excited about this next announcement. Many of you remember or know that I was able to travel to Africa just a few weeks ago. And the Lord really did some incredible things there. And we worked with a local ministry and local pastors there. The man that God called to begin this ministry and really do some incredible work there. His name is Emmanuel Mustafa, short for Moose, okay? So you'll hear me refer to him as Moose. He is a man we worked with there from Ghana, and he is stateside for a few different reasons, but he is not leaving for about 2 weeks. So he is kind of located in the Dallas area, but he is driving up next weekend. And next Sunday morning, he is going to be with us as a guest preacher. And so we also were working out some logistics. I need to get with some of our Sunday school teachers and things for several of our classes. We may do something special, an opportunity for you to hear from him. But I'll give you some more information that this week concerning that. But I hope that you'll make plans. You won't want to miss this. You'll enjoy hearing him. If nothing else, for the cool accent, right? So come back, make plans to be here next Sunday as you get a chance to hear Moose, and he's going to preach and hear about the ministry and how God is at work in Ghana. So it's a really neat time. Then the next Sunday is Tech Sunday, and we have invited several of the athletic teams to come in and be here and be a part of our service, as well as promoted it through all of text in text incoming freshman communication, etc. So we're really looking forward to that. Whenever I come back to preach, I'm going to give you kind of some more instruction and some more things about that, and so you can be prepared for that. Then on August 17th, our kids and our youth ministry, our Wednesday night activities kick back off, and so that will be August 17th when things resume. And we are excited and looking forward to that. It's hard to believe it's August, or just almost August at least. So school getting back in session, so many things that are happening, and certainly a lot of ministry opportunities, including the last one that I want to mention to you this morning, and I'll lead us in a time of prayer, and then we'll sing together. I want to mention to you two opportunities to give and to invest in our community, and particularly thinking about schools that resumes. First of which is an opportunity for us to partner with some teachers in our community. And you can do that. What we're doing this year, in the years past, we've tried to do back to school supplies and backpacks and all those sorts of things. I don't know if you've noticed, but in the last few years, and especially this year, there's been an increased focus to provide supplies to students. And a lot of different ministries, a lot of different nonprofits are doing a lot of focus that way. And so this year, we just feel like we want to come alongside some of the teachers in our community. And you know this well, they get very limited funds to help take care of their classrooms. And many of them come out of their own pocket to provide a lot of resources throughout the school year. And so what we want to do, we've set a goal of $1,000. That way we can, Lord willing, a handful of teachers, we can come alongside them and help be a blessing to them, that they can provide resources and supplies to their classroom as needed. So with that, at the end of our service, we have an opportunity to give our tithes and offerings. And if you want to give to help that, to be a part of that offering for teachers, then you can just jot down in the memo or however on the envelope, however it is you may give, just jot down teachers, and we'll designate that toward that and be a blessing to some teachers in our community here. And then the other opportunity for you to be able to give is the Monday after Tech Sunday. So on the 15th, we have, many of you are well aware of the involvement fair. Tech has the involvement fair, invites all the freshmen in. We've been doing this the last several years, setting up a booth there and just working to connect with freshmen. And statistics say that students in the first 2 weeks set the majority of the rhythm of their academic for their university career in the first 2 weeks of their freshman semester. And so we work really hard in those first 2 weeks to try to connect with as many as we can in our college service and college ministry. We are using kind of a game as a part of with that involvement fair, and through that we give away gift cards, just simple $5 and $10 gift cards to places around town. And so you're certainly welcome to give money to that. Again, make sure we know that's what it's for, or you can go buy some gift cards and just drop them by the church or whatever the case may be. So that's the two opportunities that we have before you right now. Is giving to teachers to help come alongside them, provide things that they need for their classroom, and then also for some simple gift cards, $5 and $10 gift cards to some places around town that college students would enjoy, be it coffee or food or whatever the case may be. So anyway, I know that's a lot this morning. We usually try to trim those things down, but just several things that are happening. It's that time of year. Things are ramping back up, and we are so grateful. We are grateful all that the Lord did through Camp Siloam this week and our students, and grateful for you praying for them and supporting them. And so we just thank God for that. I'm excited to sing together, and really excited to get back and preach the word to you, okay? All right, let's pray. Jesus, you're good. We love and adore you. We thank you for your goodness and grace. And God, I pray that in all things you be glorified this morning. And God, we pray that everything that's said and done, we would make much of you, Lord Jesus. God, thank you. Thank you for the rain. God, thank you for the refreshment that it brings. Thank you for the saturation that it brings. God, maybe in a corny or cheesy way, God, but I pray that the Spirit of God would saturate this place today. God, there's some of us this morning that need some refreshment, that needs some renewal. And so, God, I pray you would do just that for your kingdom and for your glory. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Assurance, Jesus is mine. Would you stand as we sing that great old hymn?
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of his spirit, lost in his blood. This is is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Mine are days that God has numbered. I was made to walk with Him. Yet I look for worldly treasure and forsake the King of Kings. But mine is hope in my Redeemer. Though I fall, Christ has paid for every failing. I am His forevermore. Mine are tears in times of sorrow, darkness night, the valley I must travel, where I see no earthly good. But mine is peace that flows from heaven. work in me. Mine are days here as a stranger, pilgrim on a narrow way. One with Christ I will encounter, harm and hatred for his name. But mine is armor for this battle, strong enough to last. Come rejoice now, O my soul, for his love is my reward. Fear is gone and hope is sure, Christ is mine forevermore. Come rejoice now, O my soul, for his love is my reward.
Christ is mine forevermore. Christ is mine
God. the King of Kings. To reveal the kingdom come and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation. You did not despise the cross, for even in your suffering you saw to the other side. Knowing this was our salvation, Jesus, for our sake you died. Praise the Father, praise the
gospel truth of old, shall not kneel and it shall not faint. Thank you, Jesus. By His grace and by His mercy, we're going to keep preaching the same gospel. Because it is the power unto God, unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, Romans 1:16. And so, if you have your Bible, I hope you'll turn to the book of Psalm 23. Turn to Psalm 23. I don't know if I have more information than you could hear. You didn't listen fast enough, but either way, I didn't get finished last week, so the Lord tarried, and I'm going to try to get finished this week, all right? So as you're turning there, but let me share with you just quickly. I want to give you a few comments about Tech Sunday that's coming in a couple weeks. I'm really excited and looking forward to this. We've done this the last several years and invited incoming freshmen in, et cetera. This year we added sending out personal invitations to each one of the head coaches of the Arkansas Tech Athletics fall sports plus basketball. They tend to be considered winter sports, but we included them in that. Their athletes will be here in time, and so we extend the invitation, and each one of those have committed to them being here and planning to bring their team, most of their team, if not all of their team. And so we're really excited about that. Now, that includes cross country and track. It includes Coach Heim here down front. He's fired up. So it includes, no pressure on him, right? Now you'll all be looking for him. So I got him. He'll be here the 14th. So volleyball, men's and women's basketball, and the football team, okay? In case you're really good at math and you're adding that up, that's a lot of student athletes on top of incoming freshmen, okay? So I'm about to have a really big ask, and I've done all sorts of things this morning, including move the pulpit and some other things, but this may get me in the most trouble, all right? So we'll go ahead and get out of the way, and then you can be mad at me the rest of service. For most of you, I'm going to ask you to sit in a different spot. Whew. All right, I just, right out there, no warning, okay? Here's why. We want to be good hosts, and we want to make sure they feel welcome. And I don't know, we have a lot of folks coming in. And so here's what I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask our folks if you would sit in these outside sections, if you will, okay? I know it. Some of you sitting in the outside, you just got really prideful. Like, oh yeah, oh yeah, I've been here. I'm holding it down. Then some of you are like, I'm not moving. You're not doing it. But we want to, as best we can, extend these two centermost sections to the athletes and to freshmen or Tech students as they come in, their staffs, etc. And so that's the first big ask, okay? So on the 14th, I'm going to ask. Now, here's what I'm also going to ask. Be here. Come. I know the temptation is I'm not going to get to sit in my seat. There will be a lot of people here. They may not even notice I'm not there. All that sort of thing. We're doing this as a ministry to our community, but listen to me really carefully. I like this. I can walk out of here, all right? Boy, this is new. We're doing this in the hope and in the prayer that we may get the chance to connect with and minister, not just for a single Sunday, but in the days ahead. And so that means we want our church family here. We want you here. We want you ministering, connecting, trying to meet, trying to be a friend as folks come in. There are a lot that will come here that have been here several years that have maybe even visited our church or maybe been in the community a while. There are several that are here brand new. All sorts of situations, all sorts of individuals from all walks of life. I know of a recent athlete who got off an airplane last week from his home country, and the first time ever being in America was when he got off the plane and came straight to Arkansas Tech. And that is not uncommon. And so this is an opportunity for us to be a blessing and minister to them. And we have said, hey, we want to extend an invitation for you to come and be here, and we're going to provide a gourmet hamburger or hot dog. Y'all know we're really good at those gourmet hot dogs, all right? That's our invitation. And so please, 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 big challenge. Number one, be here. Secondly, we're going to ask you as best you can to kind of sit on the outer edges. If you're young enough and rambunctious enough, we might even let you sit up top in the balcony and be there. But I know several are not able to do that. There will be plenty of seats here. And so we're just asking that of you. And then finally this. We're going to need some help. We're going to need some help with greeters, need some help with cooking some food, making a glass of sweet tea, those sorts of things, just helping provide. So if you would get with Pastor Jonathan or myself, if you're willing and able to help with that, we've got just a handful of some things that need to be taken care of and planned for. So, all right, I know. Tech Sunday, 2 weeks away. Don't miss next week. Moose will be here. You will be blessed by hearing Moose. And then on the 14th, lesser preaching, but still hopefully a good day in the Lord, worship the Lord together. Well, I hope that you've had the opportunity and have found Psalm 23. And I want to preach to you this message, the second half of this message, served and satisfied, served and satisfied. So Psalm 23, if you found your place and you're able, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? And God's holy word, the Bible, says this: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let me pray. Jesus, thank You for Your word. Thank You for the truth of Your word. God, I pray that, Lord, You would bless this time. I pray that You would be glorified. Give me every word to say, nothing more and nothing less. And Lord, we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, preaching to you, served and satisfied. That if you remember from last week, if you're able to be here, if not, we'll walk through a brief recap. But our trust and our complete satisfaction is in Jesus and in Jesus alone. The main idea of the text is this: is that Jesus serves us so that we may be satisfied in Him. That, you know, we said this last week, we'll never have enough until God is enough. And when God is all you want, you'll always have all you want. And it's total satisfaction in Him and in Him alone. And not what He can do, not what He can provide, but in the person of Jesus, in God Himself. And so the question then this morning is, are you perfectly satisfied in Jesus? Well, as I was sitting there worshiping and thinking about our text this morning, and I think about, obviously, we've been in a drought, we've had some really hot temps, and thank the Lord the rain showed up, and we've had some good steady rain, we've had some heavy downpours, all that kind of thing. And it's amazing, as I was walking up this morning and driving in this morning, how quickly some of our yards have already turned back green and look like they've got some life again and all those kind of things. And they're not pristine and perfect necessarily unless you've been watering them. But it's amazing to me how quickly there was refreshment to the soil and to the grass and how quickly it showed life. And friend, I want to tell you this morning, I don't know how you came in. I don't know if you stumbled in, you struggled in, or whatever the case may be. But friend, I'm telling you, in Jesus, we can find satisfaction. We can find renewal. We can find refreshment. And so, are you perfectly satisfied in Jesus? And then there are two ways, or two hats or responsibility as we look at this Psalm 23 that we see. And the first is this picture of Jesus is our shepherd. And David is writing this psalm, and we talked about this last week, as he looks back most likely at least some point over his life. We don't know if it was near the end or the middle, necessarily exactly when this was written. But undoubtedly, he's thinking back to his days of being the little shepherd boy, and it's reminding him of some things that God is doing and has done in his life. And we see this language in verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want." And we just camped out and spent some time there talking about the satisfaction that we have in Jesus, because that's what the shepherd does. The shepherd satisfies his own. "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want." But then he doesn't stop there. He goes on, he says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. But then the shepherd strengthens his own. Says he leads me in the path of righteousness for his sake. And so we declare that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I am satisfied in him, but then I'm going to be led. I'm going to be strengthened by what God does. Because he makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. There's some renewal and some refreshment. And so not only does it satisfy me, but what does the basic fundamental needs of bread and water, food, sustain us? It strengthens us. And so then he strengthens us, but then he sends us. And we look at verse 3, he restores my soul. There's the strengthening of it, that renewal. And he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. That when we are satisfied in Jesus and we have the strength in Jesus, we pursue him, and as he leads, he sends. And it's this following and it's this sending. It's this, Jesus has come to seek and to save that which is lost, and he says, go therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. And so this shepherd is satisfying, he is strengthening, he is sending. And then the last point that we settled on is that the Lord sustains his own. Look at verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That as David is looking back over his life and he's remembering the times in which the hand of God delivered him from his enemy, in the darkest of days, he remembers the rod of correction and the staff of blessing. And he looks back and goes, man, God sustained me. He took care of me in my darkest of days. He took care of me when I was in the cave and Saul was coming after me. He took care of me when the enemies of the people of God were staging up and preparing war. God sustained me. The shepherd took care of me. So there's this incredible picture, this role that David standing in the point in time in his life, looking back, remembering back to the days of his little shepherd boy days, and then recalling all that God has done, how he has been a shepherd throughout his life. But here's the deal. There are two responsibilities or two roles that in this Psalm 23 that God plays. First, in the first four verses, we see him as shepherd. Then, in the last two verses, we see him as a host or as a close friend. And friends, I'm telling you, as I got more opportunity to sit down and marinate in the text, to percolate in the text, I may have got a little Baptist in the office this week and just got on some shouting ground. I don't know if you've ever been there. I don't know if you've ever been in the Word, and man, you're studying, you're reading, and man, the Spirit of God just gives you a nugget, and boy, some of y'all look at me like I'm crazy, but fine. Man, I've been there. Man, God just gives me a truth, or reveals more of Himself to me through the Word, and man, it just makes my heart leap. And man, as I read this week, and that's where we're starting, there's the truth here that just leaped out of the text for me that I'm excited for us to start with this morning. And so I need you to see this, is that number two, if you're taking notes, the Lord is our host. Number one is the Lord is our shepherd. Number two, the Lord is our host. And we see this fleshed out in three different ways. We're going to look at that in just a moment. But hear this, verse 5 and 6 again. He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. One commentator described it this week. We go from being outside sheep to indoor friends. And I want you to hear the intimacy of that. Not as a second class and first class citizen, but as this, that man, there's this intimacy that takes place in Psalm 23. There's this transition that takes place as David is standing back, looking back, and he has spent some time thinking about his day as a shepherd boy. But then there's this transition that takes place of this idea of this intimacy of this friendship. This intimacy of this close friend. He may be even thinking about Jonathan, maybe thinking about this close friendship that he has. And that's where the Lord is our host. And this is important because you need to be reminded of this. Before you came to know Christ, the Bible describes you this way. Listen to me. As an enemy. As an enemy. You weren't even an outdoor sheep. You were a wolf. You were an enemy of God. Colossians 1:21 says, "And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he is reconciled." Well, listen to the beauty of that, that you were an enemy of God. God chased after you. God sent his son to die on the cross for you. When you repented of your sins and placed your faith and trust in Christ, he brought you near by the power of his blood. He washed you and made you clean. He clothed you in righteousness, and he embraces you as his own. Boy, there's an intimacy that we need to get a hold of, not only as the Lord our shepherd, but he is our host. And there are three ways in which the Lord functions as host. So hold on, here we go, because we're going to jump off in the deep end right here. A, the Lord, or the host honors his own. The host honors his own. So I want you to hear this for just a moment, okay? Look at verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now I want you to pause for a moment. We transition again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Him, and he walks through and how he provides for the needs and the fundamentals of who we are and our basic necessities of life. And then in verse 5, there's this transition. There's this flipping of the script where we go and we begin to set this place of intimacy. Now think about this for just a moment. The way in which you and I share the most intimate moments with our friends is often around a table, and you want to develop some close friends, and you, some of the closest friends in your life are individuals who have come and put their feet under your table and shared a meal with you. There's intimacy and closeness with that. And I don't want you to miss this. I don't want you to, just miss out on this moment where, yes, the Lord is your shepherd, and he leads and he guides and he provides, he sustains, he strengthens, he sends us, and all those sorts of things. But then there's this transition. The Lord is our host, and he invites us to the table. There's this intimacy, but man, here's where the shouting ground is. Do you get this? Look at this. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now think about David's life. He's looking back over his life and he's thinking about the moments where he had to run from Saul. And Saul had sent out his armies to destroy him. And he's hiding in caves. He's hiding everywhere he can go. Man, God establishes him as king. And man, there's these enemies raising up, the Amorites. And man, all these individuals and these countries and these enemies of God's people are raising up. And time and time and time again, God provides. God takes care of him. And he's thinking about times of Goliath and going out and a little ruddy shepherd boy, and God gives him victory. Now listen to what the text says. It says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." The commentators say the language is like this. It's as if the enemies are captive. And now get this, the enemies are captive for David. And he says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Not only has the Lord captivated his enemies, and they are there and they are bound, they are defeated foes. And listen, if that wasn't enough, there's this embrace because God has shepherded him, right? God has provided, God has taken care of him. Then he has prepared a meal for him. And he says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Oh, listen to me, church. We have an enemy, and it is Satan himself. And he is a defeated foe because early Sunday morning, Jesus got up out of the grave, and there's a table. Oh, man, there's a table prepared. And it's not just are you invited in, but he says, "You prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies so you can sit down." You invite somebody into your home, and you sit down. They sit down at your table. Why? They're not there to work. Man, I hope y'all are catching this morning. They're not there to serve. They're not there to do the things that need to be done. They're not there to fight. They're not there to protect your home. They're not there to provide for your home. Rather, you invite the friend in. You have taken care of all the business. You have taken care of all the important things. You have set the table and you say, you sit down because you are my guest and I provide for you. Oh, man. Listen, some of y'all aren't getting it this morning. That's all right. I love you in Jesus' name. He says, man, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Man, it may not be yet. It may not be yet the full fulfillment of this. But dear friend, the Lord is a close friend. And there's an intimacy that takes place because the enemies that you and I have, I'm not talking about the enemies that are at our workplace or our rival workplace. I'm not talking about enemies who are in the fast lane that ought to be in the slow lane. The Bible says this, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principality, power, prince of the air. Man, we have one enemy, and it's the same enemy that God has. And I've read the last chapter, and he is a defeated foe. And you, one day, you and I will experience the full fulfillment of this. That hell is not some party. Hell is not some place where Satan's running around as a host and everybody's living it up, all that kind of thing. But rather, hell is a place of outer torment, separated from all eternity. And the rich man was able to see in and see what he missed. And so, get this, you prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemies. That the enemies of God will fully realize what it is they have missed out on, what he has missed out on, and the affection and love that he has for his creation and the redeemed of the Lord. And so not only is the Lord our shepherd, but he is our host. He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And look at this. He goes on. He says, you anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over. It was customary as a guest would come in that they would take oil and anoint their head or be a blessing to them in that way. And that was customary in that day. It was customary to make sure that wherever they sat, that the glass would be full, they would have something to drink, that they would be satisfied with what was provided for them. And David goes on with this illustration, saying, not only have you prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies, but when I came in, you anointed my head with oil. You showered blessing. You went above and beyond. Man, listen, the Lord owes us nothing, including he doesn't owe us anointing us with oil. But that's the picture that David gives here, and then he fills our cup. The Bible says here that our cup runs over, that he showers blessing upon blessing to us. In the first four verses, we look at how the shepherd meets the very needs of our lives. The shepherd leads us to green pastures where we can have good food. He leads us beside still waters, that way we can have drink. He provides, he protects the rod of correction, the staff to lead us. But there's this transition that takes place where David goes from the shepherd, the Lord is our shepherd, to the Lord is our host. He goes from not only does God in his goodness provide our needs, but sometimes in God in his goodness goes above and beyond and gives us far more than what we deserve. Psalm 31:19 says, oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men. Psalm 16:5, O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. God gives us above and beyond measure. Why? Because God gives himself. through His Son Jesus. The Lord is my portion. And I told you this last week that it's been said that you and I have all of God that we want. You and I have all the closeness to God and the intimacy with Jesus that we want. If we're not very close, or we're, man, there's not a nearness, there's not a depth there, the reality is it's our own responsibility, it's our own fault. Because the Lord meets, the Lord ministers and grows and meets you right where you're at when we pursue Him, when we yearn after Him, when we long after Him. So God not only honors His own, but He also hovers over His own. Look at Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to deal with the first half of this verse with this regard. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, mark or underline, follow me all the days of my life. And first, I want you to see this surely goodness and mercy. If you mark or underline, circle, mark, highlight, underline, mercy. The Hebrew word that is there is the word chesed. Chesed, C-H-E-S-E-D, is the English transliteration. Chesed. Why do I point that out? Because chesed is the single richest word in the Hebrew language. If you go look up the definition and you look at how many times this word is used and the variety of vocabulary words used in the English language to translate this word, it would surprise you. Why? Because there's this depth and richness to this word that we can't captivate all that this word means in a single vocabulary word in English. I believe in the most common use of the word, at least in the New King James, is this, is loving kindness. Loving kindness. And so David used this word strategically, surely goodness and mercy, the chesedness of God, the loving kindness of God. Vine's expository dictionary says this, in general, one may identify three basic meanings of the word, which always interact, strength, steadfastness, and love. Any understanding of the word that fails to suggest all three inevitably loses some of its richness. Strength, steadfastness, and love. It also has this idea of this legal, this covenant-keeping idea. And so this chesedness of God, this loving kindness, also there's this bond to it. And so what David is saying, surely goodness and mercy, this loving kindness of God, which is, he binds himself to it, right? Because he's not obligated to. He doesn't owe me his loving kindness. He doesn't owe me his mercy. He doesn't owe me this love and strength and steadfastness. But rather, in the bond of his character and him binding himself to it, he says, surely goodness and the loving kindness of God. Because in his affection for his creation, you and I, God binds himself. I mean, his desire is for us and this loving kindness that he has toward us. And so this rich word, surely goodness and mercy, now listen to this, shall follow me all the days of my life. There's that bond, right? That following us. Don't think about it as pursuit, but think about it as hovering. Think about it as the children of Israel were leaving Egypt and the Shekinah glory of God went with the people of God. Think about it as they would set up the tabernacle in the wilderness, man, the Shekinah glory of God, the smoke as it was described hovered over the temple. There was this hovering of the presence of God. And look at David, he's writing this saying, surely goodness and the chesed of God, the loving kindness of God follows me, man, it hovers over me. Psalm 27, it's written about this way. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire of His temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. The psalmist writes, saying, man, whether I'm in days of dark, days of trouble, or man, things are good, man, the presence of God hovers over me. And let me tell you, dear friend, and this reminds us of the Roman 8 passage, right? Nothing separates us from the love of God. No height, no depth, no length, no breadth. Nothing separates us from the love of God. And that's the chesedness of God. It's not because I deserve it. It's not because I've earned it. It's not because you can earn it. But it's because God is just that good. And He is that gracious. And He is that merciful. And He saw you and I as enemies apart from God. He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross that He may rescue you from the depth of your own despair. And He chases after us. He draws us to Himself. And when we repent and believe in Him, then we surrender to Him and He shepherds us and He invites us in. He prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemy. And then surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And now listen, there are times, unfortunately, we push back from the table. We push back from the intimacy with God. We separate ourselves. We cause division. We cause a disfellowship. Now, we never lose relationship once we repent and believe in Him. But the fellowship is hindered. But dear friend, that may be where you're at this morning. Go, man, I just need some renewal. I need some refreshment. I need some rain in my soul. And I pray that you're getting it this morning. And you'll repent. Say, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'm not where I used to be. I'm not spending time with you like I used to. I'm not eager for the things of God I used to be eager for. I'm not seeking after you. And friend, I'm telling you, surely goodness and mercy will follow you. God is not some angry God pacing around His throne with a rod of correction just looking to hammer anybody that He can find. Yes, He is a holy God, a righteous God, a God that brings judgment, but He is also a forgiving and gracious God. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Friend, if you don't know Jesus, repent and believe on Him today. And if you do and you look and go, man, I've pushed back. Man, I want to challenge you. I want to invite you. Repent. Draw near to God. And the Bible says this, listen, He'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Draw to Him is what the Bible says. So God not only honors and hovers over His own, but He also holds His own. Listen again to verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And here it is. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, here's David looking back over his life and he's thinking about the shepherd boy and the correlation between how God has moved and God has done in his life and the inspirational Holy Spirit. He draws on those illustrations of being a shepherd, but then he transitioned to the Lord as our host, as a close friend, and being invited into his house and the cup overflowing, surely goodness. But then it's turning back to this idea of the tabernacle and the temple. And it was never meant to be a dwelling place for man, but it was the dwelling place for God. But friend, I want to tell you, for you and I, under the New Testament covenant and looking forward to the day in which He calls us home, there is a promise here that we can hold on to, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because God does not dwell in temples made with hands. Acts 17, no, He is not worshipped with men's hands as though He needeth anything. But rather, Acts 17 says that He created you and I with a God-sized hole only that God can fill. And He created us that He may live in us here, this side of eternity. But ultimately, there's a heavenly home. there's a place in which the manifest presence of God, the throne of God, is for all eternity. Revelation 3:12 says, "He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name." There is a place in which we can look forward to that inflation doesn't touch. Hallelujah. There are no elections. There's no spam calls. There's no car warranties. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all must not get those. I get yours. But man, there's a place in which we long for. And that day is coming. And a familiar passage to us says this: "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep." Talking about Christians who have died in Jesus. "Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope." He said, don't sorrow as others because we have a hope. Listen to what he says. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again," there's the gospel, "even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus," the Christians who have died. "For this way we say to you by the word of the Lord that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. Those who died in Christ will rise first, and those who are alive and remain shall be caught up in it together with them in the air in the clouds to meet the Lord. And here is my favorite part: and thus we shall always be with the Lord." And there's a coming a day, friend, that I may draw my last breath here, and somebody puts me in a grave, and when the voice and the shout of the archangel happens, I'll meet the Lord in the air. Or it could be, before I draw my last breath, and I'm on my third series from Psalm 23, and the Lord returns, and all those who have gone on before us disrupt the pretty graveyards, and then I meet the Lord in the air. Either way, the promise is the same: thus we shall always be with the Lord. Friend, in terms of eternity, life is but a vapor. But that vapor can be hard and tumultuous and difficult and painful and just flat-footed tough. Those days on earth can be really, really difficult. But thank God we have a shepherd who leads us, who provides for us, who sustains us. A Savior that gives us strength. He renews our soul. He walks with us. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? Because a shepherd walks with us. And as hard and as difficult as these days are, we not only have a shepherd who walks with us, but we have a close friend who invites us in. And he says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." And he meets us. And he pours out his goodness on us. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." And then David ends with this proclamation: "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Friend, I don't know if you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. I don't know. Maybe you're lying down in the green pasture and by the still waters right now and all is well. Maybe you're basking in the overflowing cup and the anointed oil. Maybe you're basking in the moments of life and all is well. Man, rejoice in that, because if that's true, that's the goodness of God pouring Himself out on you. But dear friend, can I tell you, if you're in the valley, if you're in the dark days, the shepherd is there. The friend is nearby. If you'll look to Him and lean on Him. But friend, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're facing, the race is worth it, because one day I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The victory is already won. The victory is already promised. It's not based on my performance. It's based on the person of Jesus. And we can rest in that. And so friend, if you don't know yet know Jesus, I invite you, would you repent of your sins and place your faith and trust in Christ? The Bible says this, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Won't you believe in Him for salvation today? And the Bible says God will save you. And some of you struggling and hurting and in need, and I invite you here in just a moment during our time of invitation, come get on this altar. Say, "God, I need You. I need some refreshment. I need some renewal. I need to know that You're walking with me. God, I need to seek Your forgiveness." And some of you just need to come get on this altar and pray for your friends. Man, pray for Moose as he comes next week. Pray for Arkansas Tech and the Tech Sunday. And man, there's just so much we can pray for. Pray for our nation. We need to beg God that He would move, that the gospel may go forth for His name's sake. Bow your head and close your eyes with me if you would. And if you'd say, "Brother Chris, I need to repent and place my faith and trust in Jesus today for salvation," I want to invite you to do that now. You just pray right where you're at and ask God to save you and forgive you of your sins. Be the boss of your life. You may pray something like this. Say, "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come into my heart. Wash away my sin. Be the boss of my life. Thank You for loving me. Thank You for dying for me. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name," you remain the attitude of prayer. And if you prayed that just a moment, I'm going to invite you. I'm going to be standing down front. I'm going to pray again for everybody. And when I get done praying, I'm going to invite you to come. Say, "Brother Chris, I prayed and asked God to save me today." And maybe God's dealing with your heart about something else and you want to come and spend time on this altar praying for a friend, praying for something going on in your life, or whatever the case may be, you be obedient to Him. God in heaven, we thank You for Your word. Thank You, God, for the victory that we have in You, Jesus. And God, I pray that You be glorified in all that we say and do. I pray, God, in this moment that we would respond to You. God, not respond to me, what I have to say, but God, that we would respond to You and to Your word. God, whatever that may look like. God, I pray that if somebody here repented of their sins and placed their faith and trust in You, God, I pray that they would had the boldness to come and take that step of faith. God, I pray and for whatever other decision may need to be made. God, You give them boldness. We pray this in Jesus' name. You may an attitude of prayer. If God spoke to your heart this morning, you come.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I free. Daily live.
Well, amen. So grateful that you chose to be with us today. Grateful for the opportunity to worship together. I'm going to ask some of our men if they begin to take the place that may be able to help receive our offering as we leave today. Again, want to mention those two options to you, opportunities to give that we have right now. First of all, opportunity to give to be a blessing to teachers in our community. And so you can give in that way. Again, just some way designate that gift so that we know that what that's for. And then secondly, opportunity to give for college students, gift cards. You can do that through just buying some gift cards and bring them by, or you can certainly give money for those to be purchased. Again, just indicate that so that that is known. And then also one other announcement I wanted to mention to you. This Wednesday is Bible study with the pastor. So hope you'll make plans to be here for some light refreshments. And 9:30, is that right? 9:30? Man, I forget. So 9:30 this Wednesday. Hope you'll make plans to be with us. Love to have you. We're studying the book of Colossians together. So looking forward to being back with you this Wednesday. All right. Be back tonight, 5 o'clock, and then watermelon if you want. If you want to bring your own snack, that's fine. Looking forward to that. So, okay, let's stand, and we will have a word of prayer and be dismissed, all right? Jesus, you're good. We love and adore you. We thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you, Lord, that you invite us in, and you call us your own. And Lord, I just pray that we would give in such a way that would glorify you, that would reflect that you are Lord of our lives. And so thank you for each gift. I pray that you would use it for the advancement of your kingdom. And Lord, go before us and behind us. Help us to be a witness for you this week. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is my story.